Good afternoon and welcome to the Boldness on 3CR 8:55 AM. The Boldness is about lived experience of disability, and I am your host tonight. My name is Raf. Now, this is one of the bonus interviews we do for podcasts for the Boldness, and quite recently, Arts Access Victoria sent me a nice press release informing me of an exhibition called the Beacon Exhibition. So we're going to be talking to a number of the artists over the next couple of months. The first guest is Michael Buckley, who is one of the artists of the Beacon Exhibition. Michael, you come from a very, very interesting background. Would you like to share with listeners about what your background is?
Yes. I started off as a cartoonist, and then I went into animation, experimental film, and then I went into the performance area with a performance group that are still going called ARF ARF. So I have a few hats. I wear a few different hats on making artworks, does that cover your question,
Brad? Of course, yep. That is absolutely great, Michael, And one of the things that you've done, like coming from the cartoonist background, like you've actually written a number of artist books as a professional artist. For example, there was an exhibition at the Fischer Gallery in Hamburg, Germany in 2014. Now, what sort of art did you produce for that?
I've become really fascinated with cheap art in terms of the production methods, which is I do all my paintings on brown paper. So I had a 6-week at the Hamburg Gallery. I painted about, I don't know, maybe 50 different paintings. I could do about, wasn't speed, but I just used to pump out about 2 or 3 paintings a day for this gallery exhibition that I had there. And a lot of the art is on brown paper. It's also very portable, so I could just, like today for the exhibition up in Brunswick, I carry my whole gallery of paintings, the whole wall, in a cardboard box, weighed less than 0.5 kilo.
And, right. Well, that's actually very, very light for a painting. And so, like, when I say light for a painting, because from, like, if it's a photo, once there's a frame around it, the weight really starts to add up and it gets very heavy to carry around, Michael.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I can avoid all those issues. And I paint on brown paper, then I cut out the actual painting and I just put that up on the wall. It's been really a great way for me to produce art and still enjoy it without getting too worried or precious about the artwork. The other thing with brown paper, if I do a bad section of a painting, I can just rip it out or actually use scissors to cut it out and stick another bit of brown paper over the top and just repaint. I can easily fix up and doctor my artworks using brown paper.
Yeah. Now, is that part of your background, Michael, is that a professional life as an artist, and there was studying media at Ruston College, and you made your first major film, How Dr. God Enters the World, back in 1977.
Yeah, that became a really seminal work for me. I'd done a couple of other little short films at the Teachers College, but I started to use collage as a method of making the work. So basically I'd have a whole lot of different visual material, and I could I'd just go in and join up different sections to make a film. And the Dr. God film is a lot of live action plus a lot of animation in there. There is a narrative in there, but it's very rubbery and loose. It's sort of a formula that I've continued on ever since, basically, making work where I make a big pile of assets and then I make a big pile of assets and then I put, then I just lay, I lay them out into a stream of different sequences. And if I put a voiceover over the top, I can quickly kind of construct a collage of effects in the films. The current work at the gallery I consider it a film more than like a whole string of images up on a wall, because you can kind of run it. If you stay up close, you can kind of, you read it really differently. If you look at the artwork up close and kind of, and move along slowly looking at it, you can kind of get a, sometimes you, a viewer can invent their own narrative from looking. And so it's sort of what I have done ever since I made the Dr. God film in 1977. It seems like a long time ago. It's a method of production that's worked really well for me. It's collage.
Yeah, and is it following on to that, is it in the 1980s, I mean, this is great, great, great background is as a professional artist, Michael, is that you were working for a number of organisations focused on disability rights in Australia. What was that all about?
I applied for a job with, it was called the National Self-Advocacy Kit Project, where we had to make some resources on rights issues for people with intellectual disabilities, for the self-advocacy movement, which, you know, basically we made a, we, I went out with a friend, a colleague, Tibor Mahaly, and we gathered, we went and interviewed lots of different people about self-advocacy, and we were helping to promote the movement. It's been really successful. In Melbourne, there's Reinforce, which has been going for 40 years, and I think they're still going, and they have an office in Melbourne Central. I can't think what the name of their building is, but yeah.
Another stream of your arts practice is the writing and sending stories to friends and colleagues, and that was about the mid-1990s. I think you were awarded an Australian Council Fellowship for writing back in 2000. How did the writing actually assist you?
I think you're talking about what was irreverently known as the Keating. When Paul Keating, the Labor government, went out of power, he, right at the end, he had some money left over, and he gave out a number of awards to different organisations to fund the glue, basically a writing scholarship. And I got mine. I developed really good script writing for film, for documentary films, I mean. I made a really great little doco called Witness, a guy called John Harrowell, who ended up in Sunbury Mental Asylum, as it was called, for 30 years he was locked up. He went in as a 13-year-old boy. And that was one of the funding from, I wrote that with John, and it came out of that Keating Award, as it's euphemistically known by various people.
Like, your arts practice is also covered with music, a band called Arf Arf.
I never use the term music, as there's very little rhythm or melody. It's all sort of spoken word, but the words are noises, basically, where you can ta-ra-ra-ra-ra-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. You know, I can do a lot of sound poetry, vocalisations. We're still going. The core members are myself and Marissa and Marcus. I'll just say their first names, yes. So, and it's like we made a doco called Thread of Voice, that's right. It was called Thread of Voice in about 92, 93. It was won a whole lot of awards all over the world. It won a prize for the best doco at St Kilda Film Festival. And that's an exploration of vocal voice work. We're still in operation and looking for more gigs to perform that, yeah.
Michael, you've been a man who's actually travelled, let's say, living across in Germany, but you've also lived in the Netherlands, and he started creating some large-scale cutout figures that he struck straight to walls.
Yeah, that was, again, brown paper. That was an early exploration, actually. I think it's 2014. Around then, I remember going to a house of a friend in Melbourne, and she had someone who was staying there, a lady, and she'd cut out a whole huge horse on brown paper and stuck it up on the wall. I looked at it and went, wow, that really sort of really influenced my, you know, opinion about brown paper, I guess. And so the one in, I think you may have seen in it's in Leeuwarden, northern Holland, is a piece where it's a big, I think it's a giraffe or whatever. But yeah, that was another paper cutout. That's where it came from. It's original one I saw this woman do in Melbourne. And then I continued on and made, I've been making brown paper art ever since. And I went to a fashion shop in, I think it was in Collingwood somewhere, and I bought a huge roll of brown paper, quite big in size, quite thick. I was reasonably thick, meaning strong, about $150. I still got about half a roll of the same paper left. It's just endless. I can paint away. And after I do a paint, I stayed at the fire station in Dublin in early 2016, and I painted all these sort of different portraits of people, and I took them to Hamburg to show, to put up in the gallery there, and I just put them all in my suitcase, and there's some great little secrets where I opened up my suitcase and just kept pulling out brown paper portraits one after another. I had about 30 of them. They were fairly big, these ones, in the suitcase. Basically, I could cut my artwork all over the world, put it up, and there's no, you know, it's a very easy way of operating.
We're going to build, like, Michael, I am really looking forward to seeing this exhibition called the Beacon Exhibition, because basically it's that your art's practice as a professional artist is that there's been the film, there's been some music, there's been creative writing, and there's been using paintwork as a man of many, many, many talents. And you've got this artwork in the Coolahan Gallery in Brunswick. It's called Substantia Nigra. Now, what is actually Substantia Nigra?
Okay, everyone has strange terminology. That's why I was attracted to it. A friend of mine, Sally, suggested that, had I heard about this part in your brain called the substantia nigra? Said, no. And she said it means the black substance in your brain. It's actually, that's what it's called. And it's a part of your brain has a black area. And in that area, it can produce dopamine and joy. It can, you can kind of get more happiness, I guess, out of it. Because of my disability, I have Parkinson's disease. They think that when you're diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, you've probably already lost 60 to 80% of your substantia nigra, which is, where a lot of your vitality and vigour and joy comes from in the form of dopamine. So what I've done in the gallery is I've painted about 150 little pictures of portraits, 150 different portraits, and each one is sort of like, for me, it's a bit rubbery, this, but it's a bit of a long bow, but I'm really connected to trying to enjoy life. I find with painting these sort of little simple pictures a way to, have more fun in life. And each picture represents just the physicality of me painting with a steady hand. These pictures, it works really well for me.
Michael, I'd like to say thank you very much for joining us at the Boldness today. That this sounds absolutely amazing and incredible about your total journey. I'd like to thank you for sharing your stories with listeners today. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Thanks, Rafi.
The Beacon Exhibition is running from the 10th of August to the 26th of October 2025. And it is showing at the Coolahan Gallery, located at 223 Sydney Road, Brunswick. From an accessibility perspective, at the opening, the Coolahan Gallery does have an accessible venue and accessible bathrooms. There are audio descriptions of the images available. There is Auslan on request available at the opening, and it is by request. The opening will be live streamed, and there's a quiet space available at the opening. And to get there, Jewel Station is 550 metres away from the Coonahan Gallery. It has a low platform, wheelchair access and tactile edges. Should you decide to travel by tram, Route 19 has an accessible tram stop at Brunswick Road, which is stop number 19. The Route 19 tram is serviced by Lophalore trams, and the accessible stop is approximately 500 metres from Coonahan Gallery. And there will be more details available from the Arts Access website, which is www.artsaccess.com.au. Thank you for joining us tonight. Keep listening to 3CR 855 AM.